Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Where are you tonight, Ray?
I believe I'm in Denver.
You're losing sight of where you are these days?
Yes, I'm. I am. I was making a point last night, and I was having trouble talking about the Jets because I was staring at St. Louis's sweaters at the time, and I was really confused.
Well, you shouldn't have. Brian was mentioning that top line for Winnipeg. It wouldn't have been hard to follow them last night, was it, Ray?
Oh my God, were they good? They dominated. The Blues top line that's playing against them, they haven't done a thing at 5-on-5. I don't know which top line really has been more ineffective in the two series I'm doing, guys, whether it's Calgary's or St. Louis's. St. Louis has got one 5-on-5 goal. It was O'Reilly's in game two, the one that went right through Hellebuck,
Muffin, but nothing else.
And then Calgary's guys haven't done a thing.
Yeah.
And so I thought St. Louis was, you know, I thought they would, the way they started, I thought they would play like that. They'd be able to carry that. But Winnipeg took that game over. And once they scored, they were never on the defensive again. Winnipeg carried the game.
Ray, there's got to be some pressure. I mean, you're doing that game tonight. There's got to be some pressure on that top line in Calgary. I Johnny Gaudreau didn't have a great playoff, I believe, last year. And there's, you know, he's a guy that, to me, they've circled and tried to make his life difficult. And not that he has to fight through hits, but he's got to fight through limited time and space. And I know that they've, Valimaki's gone in, and they're trying to shuffle the deck chairs a little bit. But ultimately, to me, that surface coverage, you need your top players to play like top players.
Well, you know, you guys are going to watch Toronto and Boston, and Boston can move their lines around all they want, but if those big boys don't get going, they're not going to win. And for Calgary, it's so easy to see from where I'm sitting that Gaudreau is wearing his frustration so clearly. Like, every time Ian Cole skates by him, he gives him a bump. And Cole's a big guy. And he just, like, gives him a bump. He gets him behind the net, and he punishes him with a hit. Gaudreau's always looking back to the ref, and he's always complaining or, you know, wants him, you know, that should be a penalty. Like, he's just consumed with frustration. And he's got to let that go. Like, he's got to just play. You know, he's a 99-point scorer who's made no impact on the series. None. And the other 99-point player, McKinnon, has, you know, he's been the main attraction. If Calgary doesn't get that stuff from him tonight, from Gaudreau tonight, and Sean Monahan, I don't know how healthy he is. The reason I say that is he's skating around in a manner that has no power to it. He's just kind of out there. Those guys don't really get going. They're in trouble here.
Well, you mentioned the Bruins and their big boys. We had Joe Haggerty on in the previous hour, a Bruins insider, and it sure sounds like, you know, the Boston media and the fan base, they are bracing themselves for that top line to be broken up tonight if it doesn't work. And I know we talked about that yesterday, and Ray, you said you got to do something. If that does end up happening, if Pasternak moves down with Krejci and someone moves up with Marchand and Bergeron, how happy do you think Mike Babcock would be?
Well, I think you'd be happy because that means you're into their psyche. You know, you're not dancing for joy yet because Krejci and Pasternak can hurt you, and Bergeron and Marchand can hurt you too. I would assume they'd move DeBrusk up to play with Marchand, or maybe DeBrusk stays with Pasternak and Krejci. But you'd be happy that you're into their psyche. You've got them thinking a little bit about, okay, how are we going to get by this Toronto defense, the way that Toronto is playing? And when was the last time we ever said that about an opposing team? When have we ever said they've got to come up with a plan to get through Toronto, through Toronto's defense? Because usually we're like, man, Freddie Anderson can't keep making 45 saves or 40 saves or 35 saves, whatever it is. And he's not had to because they've played really, really effectively in front of him.
Well, tonight is such a massive opportunity for this young Maple Leaf team, and it's all been about maturity and growth, and they haven't really been in this situation. A couple of years ago, they were up 2-1 against Washington, but I think even they knew this is not going to work out for us. Washington was a cup favorite, President's Trophy winners. But this is a very different situation than the one they found themselves in last year. They have the upper hand, and they have the opportunity here to really take a stranglehold over this series. The Bruins are going to come out hot early, but how do you expect the Maple Leafs to respond to it tonight?
Well, it different because they're at home than if they were in Boston. I think Toronto can match their enthusiasm and intensity and energy right away. And a lot of that is being at home. Like, I think they're in a really good spot to withstand that first 10 minutes where, you know, Boston's going to come out and, you know, try to get the upper hand, try to get the jump, try to be physical, try to play their style of game right away. But I think, because I just watched it the other night, I think Toronto can do that. Like, Game 3 was really important from my viewing because of the way Game 2 went. Toronto had to respond. And you knew Boston felt like, hey, we've got a little bit of an edge here. We can go and bang these guys around, and they don't like it. And I thought Toronto responded really well. And so I expect it to be that way again. Some series are never like we thought. I mean, we got Pittsburgh's out and Tampa's out. But when we were all picking Boston over Toronto in this series, or, you know, I'll speak for myself, never did I think it was a five-game series. I'm like, look at the teams. Like, they're not that far apart, even though they're so different. And I would expect tonight to be, you know, as close as two of the three games have been. Well, it's funny, I guess Toronto actually dominated the first game and Boston played the second game. I expect it to be close. Like, I view this series as tight. I don't see anybody running away with it.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, we can go around the table on this one. We'll start with you, though, Ray. Better chance at getting to a cup final, the New York Islanders or the Columbus Blue Jackets?
Columbus, I think.
What a change a week makes. 1 week.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, I still can't
Columbus,
believe they're one.
Sorry, you go.
Well, I'm just saying, like, they, you know, this is a team that 2 weeks ago wasn't even in a playoff spot.
But you know what? Like, do you not get the sense in looking at it? And I know we had some pretty good debates on this show. I thought Columbus was a good team that ended up in a wild card spot. You know, they had inconsistencies. Bob wasn't playing well. You know, Panarin seemed like on his way out. Kekalainen doubles down at the deadline, and those players didn't settle in right away. Like, Duchesne and Dzingel had done nothing for the first 2 weeks after the trade deadline, and we were all saying, like, this isn't working. It's just not working. But they seem to have found some mojo. But in looking at it, like, I think Columbus on paper was a lot better than what they showed in the standings.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think most people would agree with that. What I do think has become clear here, what was overstated was the distraction that was Panarin and Bobrovsky.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, it was this idea that they've already got one eye on South Beach or Tampa or New York.
Yeah, they're gone.
And
yeah,
they're not going to perform. And I thought Panarin played great, and Bobrovsky played really well. You can apply it to basketball. Kawhi Leonard, I don't know where Kawhi's going, but he's committed to the Raptors while he's playing for the Raptors.
Right, playing hard. He's a pro.
He's a pro. And he's got pride, and he wants to go out there and perform. So, you know, from that standpoint, I guess that's what really sticks out. The Islanders, though, I still don't think we even give them any love, Ray. Like, they just don't get any love. And they just knocked out Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Dominated.
I just think, though, like, the reason they don't get any is because it's an underwhelming lineup. Like, just think of, go back to last year. So they lose Tavares. Lou comes in. He hires Trotz. Now, those are two big moves. Then they bring back Matt Martin. They sign Val Filppula. They signed Komarov. Like, does any of that make you think, oh, this is going to go from worst to first defensively? Then they signed Robin Leonard, who couldn't stop anything. Then we find out about Leonard's troubles, and you're like, I don't know. Like, how is it all going to work? Except it all has. And it's not a fluke, because they've done it all year. Yeah. They're not going to be an easy out. Chances are they're going to get Washington. That's not going to be very easy for them either. But the East is now a completely different book with Tampa out. Maybe the players didn't think so, but it's a completely different look for all of us to go, you know what? Why can't Columbus get through? Why can't they? Man, they played fantastic.
What, by the way, what the hell was Panarin doing in the handshake line? Did he think those guys were going to be happy for
him? Hilarious.
It was. Did you? I mean, even Kucherov's looking at him, going, "Dude, you're killing me here," because he knows the camera's on him. If Kucherov gives him the high five and they got smiles all around, we're torching Kucherov today. Going, this guy doesn't give a you know what.
What would have? Do you think he would have been fined if Kucherov would have been fined if he punched him in the head?
Yes, I don't know. Aren't they like best friends? Like, aren't they best buddies?
Yeah.
Like,
if it was my best buddy, I'd be even more rattled.
Yeah,
I'd punch him
so
in
how
the head.
How could you do that to me? Like, how would you try to embarrass me like that?
Right. I'd punch him in the head even more so.
He'd be like, what a bonehead. What are you doing?
Yeah, no. Tackle the guy.
Well, Ray, have you ever, I mean, we've obviously, you and I lost a series together to the Rangers. Like, I don't know who your best friend in hockey was, but did you ever play against your best friend in, you know, in a playoff series or something where you had to shake his hand at the end?
Yeah, you shook his hand. Good luck, man. Talk to you after once you get showered.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what? Like, are you gonna stop and have him try to be happy for you because you won?
It's like,
doesn't
absurd.
That seem, didn't it all seem kind of goofy?
It's such
like,
a troll job.
It is, but I look at the way the world shakes now. And, Ray, you're right at ice level. Warm-up is a country club. Guys are at the red line almost having a coffee and a catch-up, you know, and chatting it up and laughing it up. Like, it's a lot different now. That scenario, Kucherov should have just, you know, skated by him because he's a guy that you circle that did not show up in that series and could have cost his team that series with the selfish play. But Panarin is just enjoying himself. That's the way guys are nowadays. It's almost like they don't care.
You're right. He was enjoying himself. Like, that was, like, I don't know. Like, if somebody came towards me, like, one of my friends like that, like, I'm just trying to think, like, realistically, what would you have done? I think I would have said, like, beat it. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I would not have been happy.
Like, I would not have been happy with that.
How does Tampa avoid full-blown panic now? Like, how do they avoid?
Are they blowing it up?
Well, not blowing. They're not going to blow it up. Of course not. But, like, that's...
But I think it's easy for them, guys.
Yeah.
Because some of the... And the reason I say that is, like, okay, so they just got kicked in the teeth. But they had 62 wins. They've got to sign Braden Point. That's going to be a big number. They've got three defensemen, Strowman, Girardi, and Ruda. And I want to say that's a total of about $9 million that come off the books on their blue line. Like, without getting into anything, trading anybody, or which they probably might make a deal or two. I would think they would anyway. But they can remake a lot of their defense without doing anything. Like, with just finding a player, finding two players. Maybe they move Tyler Johnson to open up some cap space up front. Maybe they trade a draft pick along with Ryan Callahan to clear some more space. Like, I think we have to look all the way back to last year, to the last team that people thought should have blown up their core and didn't. And that's Washington. And then eventually they won. Tampa's good. They stunk for a week. And they can't overreact.
Yep. All right, buddy. Enjoy it wherever you are tonight and wherever you're going to be tomorrow. We'll catch up at 5 p.m. Eastern time.
Eastern, I'll get that in. I'll be in Winnipeg tomorrow. No, I won't. Yes, I will. I will be in Winnipeg tomorrow. Denver tonight. You guys have fun tonight. It'll be great,
right,
eh?
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll break it down tomorrow. There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.